That's probably why you're struggling, is because you're not even just applying the fundamentals. Day two is creating your offer. And your offer is like, what are you selling? Yes, it's software, but how are you presenting it? What are you calling it? What else are you including? Are you just doing software, or are you going to include more things to your package to make your package more attractive than your competitors? A lot of stuff that we teach. And we give a lot of, in this program as well, we actually give basically the strategy, the tactics, and then the templates. So we actually give tons of done for you things that you can just take, incorporate into your offer, incorporate into your business, and just move forward. So we really made it a turnkey 7-day program, boot camp basically, to really get people from step A all the way to step Z in their service bureau. So we go through offers, we go another day on marketing, another day on sales, onboarding, fulfillment, and then just the rinse and repeat, because that's really what business is.
Welcome to the Service Bureau Accelerator Podcast, where we help tax professionals start and scale a successful service bureau.
Right, all right. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Service Bureau Accelerator Podcast. I am here with Uncle Daddy Ross, just us two here for today. What we're going to cover, what today's episode's about, is as we enter into the 2024 Service Bureau sales season, we're going to talk about what's new with Service Bureau Accelerator for 2024. So we got a long list of topics, and Ross, why don't you start it off?
For sure. We'll kick things into it. So welcome everyone back to the podcast. So one thing that we do in our business, and we talk a lot about this to all of our members as well, is like, you always got to be constantly improving. I'm actually going to go back to one of our new training topics, the two core parts of a business, marketing and marketing and innovation, meaning how do we get more people into our business and how do we make our product better, right? We always need to be making our product better. Imagine if when iPhone came out with the very first iPhone, imagine if they just stopped and they're like, all right, here's the first iPhone we ever make and we're never going to improve upon it. They'd be out of business, right? Apple would not be the company they are today. And so we obviously have to do that in our business as well. Every year, there's opportunity to reflect and review, okay, what went well? What could be improved upon? What do we need to change to make our program, our product, our service better for our customers? And so we do that a lot. Every year we meet up, we do a meeting for like what we were, like a week. We were in Texas and we just sat down and spent the whole week with like our core team, just really laying out, okay, what can we improve upon? What are the changes we need to see? And how do we go and execute that? So one of the biggest things that we did, and we actually started this last year, was we hired a lot more team members in our support area, because one of the biggest focuses for us with all of our members that we have in the Service Bureau Accelerator is supporting our clients, right? Supporting you guys as you have your Service Bureau and as you're learning the ropes, because you're going to hit things where you may not know the answer to something, but we've got dedicated support where you can just open a ticket with us and we'll respond usually the same day, usually within a few hours. Hey, here's the response. So that you can then take that to your customers or to your clients. So we're basically like in your corner, helping you along the way. And as we've grown, as we had more, we have over 650 service bureaus in our program now, the support increases. So we're like, all right, you can't really scale it with like more softwares and tools and systems. You can to a certain degree, but at the end of the day, it's just, you need more manpower. You need more people in there helping you. So we've expanded our support team, which is huge. And it's going to allow us to do more things, like have increased client success and software adoption, where we can spend more time with our clients, especially our newer clients, getting them into the software, making sure they understand exactly how the software works as a service bureau. How do you set clients up? How do you issue licenses? All that stuff. So we're just really, really reinvesting big time into our program, and most importantly, into our members, into, you know, better systems and support for our members to help you guys grow. So that's one of the biggest ones, is just really increasing our support, adding in new hires.
Yeah, I think that was one of the biggest topics in our meeting is the support, and then tying into client success. So yeah, we made big investments in bringing in more support people right before the season. We trained quite a few people, and I think it showed. I think we may have spoken about this in another episode, but just the feedback that we've gotten from our members is just literally. Bottom line, we took over a lot of bank support. We took over a lot of support from software, tech support, from bank support, because the challenge is you deal with customer service reps that don't really know what the hell they're talking about. And what we've noticed over the years is that service bureaus, if the customer service rep that they're speaking to isn't familiar with how these things are set up or what access they have or what they need to do, they're just telling them, oh, go call the software. And the software saying, oh, you have to call the bank. And we're just like, no, we need to just take this over, take over this whole aspect of the business. So support's been massively increased in just the past, what, 6, 7, 8 months for the season. And we've just added more people to the support team as recent as last month. And we're recording this April 12th. So in March, we hired more support people. So yeah, it's just a night and day change in that.
And support's huge too. I want to stress on that a lot as well. For any of you guys listening, like whoever you're getting your software from, like think of it during the tax season. Like how easy is it to get a hold of someone to get support that you need when you suddenly have like an EFIN that's compromised or something? And you're like, what the hell? I can't operate my business. I need help immediately. How long does it take? Right? Does that get resolved the same day, or at least there's a resolution in process the same day? Or does it take days for your software provider to actually give you the proper support? Or are they telling you, oh, you got to go call this bank, or oh, you got to go call this phone number instead of just servicing you directly? Right? And that's like a big part of it. And we did a survey before our meetup, because we always like to also survey our group to understand, hey, what do you guys like? What didn't you like? What do you have for suggestions? Because we listen to our group, we listen to our members to help navigate us on to make sure we are moving in the right direction with some of our decision making. And our support survey, we got on a rating of 1 to 5, we got on average 4.80. So
yeah,
pretty, that was a good number to see.
Yeah, I think a lot of people overlook the fact that, and we may have talked about this before, but if your software provider is also doing taxes, you're probably going to get shitty service because they don't have a team in place to, they'll say just call tech support. But a lot of times tech support can't help with certain things because they're bank issues or other issues that needs to be resolved by the software provider. And if they're not accessible, then you're in a bad position, right? So rule of thumb, focus on getting us, especially if you're a service bureau, you need to work with somebody that's not doing taxes.
It helps. Yeah, it helps tremendously.
Definitely helps a lot.
While everyone's busy just dealing with taxes and dealing with their tax business, their clients, and crazy busy at that, we're not. We're sitting here ready to support our members. And that's kind of like the biggest thing, right?
During tax season, we do our corporate meetups and we have our support team supporting.
Yeah. Tax season is kind of like our relaxed time, honestly. Yeah. It's just support. That's all we got to do. We just got to support you guys. And we've got our systems, process in place, our teams trained up. It's pretty straightforward.
With the support people, they're creating we have a whole help center. So they're creating much more content that's easily accessible for people to just search our help center, get a quick answer if they want to use that. If they don't want to open up a ticket, they can just search and get the answer. Because literally, we spent the last 3 months looking at every single support ticket that came up and said, hey, this one probably needs a support article. This one probably doesn't. This one does. And literally, we've made hundreds of support articles just in the past 2 months to help increase our knowledge base and help center.
Yeah. And there may be some other fun tools coming down the road with a little bit of AI sprinkled in there.
a little bit of artificial intelligence possibly coming as well. But that kind of ties in to what you brought up before. You mentioned client success. So, last year we started a client success process where, when a new member came in, they went through our foundations, and then in that time it was like picking a path. And there was people that actually called up and tried to get them get clarity on where they were and just help guide them along the way of making sure they understand the business, have their offer together, just the whole thing that we cover in how to actually grow this type of business. So with that extra support staff this year, we're actually training them on a new client success process that we've revamped based on the feedback we saw from last year. How can we make this better? So client success going hand in hand with software support and software adoption is a big focus for us for 2024. I don't know if you want to elaborate on that.
Yeah. Else. Yeah. Just because client success, like just that term in general is like, it's kind of a little bit vague. So I figured I could maybe like break it down a little bit for the audience. Is client success to us is like a big part of our program, the Service Bureau Accelerator. It's not just, hey, here's your Service Bureau, here's your software, go have fun. And if you have questions, talk to us. Our program is about, hey, here's your Service Bureau, here's your software, here's support. So when you do have questions, you can talk to us. But also, here's how you actually grow this type of business. Here's how you create a package. Here's how you market it. Here's how you go and sell. Here's how you actually onboard clients. How do you maintain your clients? How do you retain and fulfill on whatever software delivery program packages, whatever it is that you're selling? So the biggest focus on our program, well, I mean, I guess originally the biggest focus was the business model. Now we're kind of doing a realizing that, hey, the software also needs to be there too. It is at the end of the day, the core product. But it, a big, big part of our program is helping you guys actually go out and grow this type of a business. And so how do you do that? Well, we have all of our training set up to help you succeed. That's why it's called client success, because it's like, okay, yes, you can get in, you can set yourself up on the software, you can issue a license to your tax office, you can use the software, but you're not a service bureau. Like, you didn't do anything revolving a service bureau. You just set yourself up on the software, and you just used it yourself, which is fine because you can put a lot of money back in your own pocket. But the business model of a service bureau is to actually go out and actively sell the software and enroll other EROs on your software, because that's where the actual growth model is for that, for this type of business. You want more volume, you want more bank products coming into your software, because that's where all the fees are at. So our program is a lot on how do we do that. So client success is all about, you know, doing outreach to our clients. Hey, it looks like you completed foundations. We have a new training program, which we'll get into in a little bit here. You know, tracking our clients, how are they going through that? Hey, did you come up with an offer? What does that look like? Have you done any sales? Have you done any marketing yet? Oh, you're struggling with marketing. Okay, cool. Here's a training section that we have that breaks down all our different marketing strategies. I want you to go through there and start applying some of that. And then we can check in a couple of weeks and see how you're doing. Or if you have questions on it, or if you want some feedback, send in a ticket and we'll take a look at your marketing. We'll sit down and look at your offer. We'll look at the image. We'll look at your ad copy. We'll look at your post, whatever it is that you're doing, and give you feedback on it so you can be successful. So that's a huge part of it, is not just get you up to speed with how you manage the software, but how do you actually grow this business? How do you go out and actually scale it? So that's a big part of client success.
Yeah, and that's the piece that's missing from all these copycats out there. They don't know how to do it. It's funny. I
got a webinar things, word for word, but they don't know what it means.
I saw somebody sent me a thing of somebody trying to do like a service bureau conference, and one of the speakers there, they're talking about like growing it. And I spoke to the fucking dude. He only does like 2,000 or 3,000 bank products. Like, you haven't grown one. Like, what are you teaching it for? So anyway, that's neither here or there.
Yeah.
There's just too much out there. Like, they don't have the structure. They don't have the structure. They don't really know what they're doing. And the biggest, like, over the past, especially this year, the first couple of early enrollments that we had before we haven't even gone public yet as of this recording. A lot of it has been people that coming from other service bureaus that realize they're not really showing them how to grow the service bureau. So that's something that we're going to be seeing more and more, is existing service bureaus just needing somewhere else to go that can actually guide them. And we had somebody that signed up that has been trying to sign up with us for 2 years, but through some contractual non-competes that they have with somebody else and that we work with, we just didn't take them. Like, we're like, hey, no, we can't. They ended up going up the chain and actually getting a release so they could come over here. Just because of
three years in the making,
right? Yeah. Just because of the training and the type of support that we have on the client success side.
And they were with an excellent, probably what would we say, our second favorite service bureau other than ourselves. But again, it's just the detail of training that we offer is very different. It's more the business model. How do you actually grow this type of business? Yes, yeah, we get into the nitty gritty of operating it, as in like the software, being a service bureau, issuing licenses, but operating and growing are two completely different things. You got to have both if you really want to succeed.
There's no point in operating one if you don't have clients.
Exactly. Right? You can be as good as you want at issuing licenses, but if you ain't got any sales, who are you issuing those licenses to, right?
If you don't have clients, you can't. You have nothing to operate. So
yeah,
it's problem solved sometimes, right?
So, exactly.
But yeah, I think that kind of leads into the new thing, the 7-day launch thing.
Yeah.
I want to add more.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to talk a little bit on like software adoption, because again, like I know a lot, and on this podcast, we talk a ton about like marketing sales, like, because that again, that's like a big part of what we do. And it's not just a big part of what we do, but it's no one else really does it. So it's like, hey, let's talk about this stuff, because no one else really teaches this stuff, because again, like they don't really have the ability to. But software adoption is also really important. So we're spending a lot more time, because we just realized over the years that all the tax preparer, the ERO type individuals, you guys love to see the A to Z before we start. So we're like, all right, let's get everyone up to speed and comfortable and confident in your service bureau software. Because sometimes you might be changing software to get a service bureau set up with us. And so we need to do a crash course, right? And really get your competency up so you're confident knowing how to set someone up in the software. Because we hear this all the time on our coaching calls. You'd be like, well, what if someone's ready to buy? I don't know how to set them up in the software yet. And we'd always be like, don't worry, you'll learn, like you can figure that out when the time is right. But learning the software ahead of time when you have no customers, well, who are you going to set up? And that was kind of our mindset. But we realized that there's always a bit of a disconnect there, or just like a bit of friction from everyone really internalizing that. And so we're like, all right, you know what? Let's do both, right? If people just want to go out and sell stuff immediately, cool. We've got the path laid out for them. But if other people really need to spend time and just really learn the software and get really confident with it to allow them to sell it, because you got to have confidence in your product when you're selling stuff, right? We understand that. And that's, I think, where a lot of people would shy away from it, because they're like, well, I don't really know the software myself. How can I sell it to someone? And that's fair. Like, that's fair to say. So with that, our software adoption, we're going to be spending a lot more time where as soon as your service bureau build out is done, we're booking you in with multiple one-on-one calls with our team, not group calls, one-on-one calls to go through the software with you. Hand-holding training. Hey, here's your account hub or here's your MO. Let's walk you through this. What do we do here? How do we do this? And we then break that into multiple different calls, walking you through the whole process, combined with a whole bunch of new training videos that you can also go self-paced through. That's going to like screen recording, step-by-step, point and click, guide you through it and explain what we're doing in these steps. So you really kind of master the software and really understand everything. So big update on that, on the software adoption as well. So just wanted to get that little blurb in there. But then coming back to the 7-day launch program, this is the business training, right? Like the scaling, the growth. How do we go out and start selling immediately? And our training that we had previously was it's great. We're not getting rid of it. We still have it. We're breaking it out a little bit. But the way it was structured is there was probably, I want to say maybe 20 plus hours of content to go through in like our main, like, you know, software sales training, or whether it was an academy training, whatever it was. There was a lot of training videos there. It was a lot of time spent going through the training. And it was a little bit overwhelming for a lot of people. And so like, okay, how can we get the gist of like all this long, extensive training? How can we get it and condense it down into like a 7-day boot camp, basically? That was the initial concept. And so what we did is we broke it out into 7 days. Like, okay, day number one, we're going to work on our goal setting, right? Let's start with the end in mind. We have to set our goals. We do this every year in our business. It blows me away. We've had some members like, well, I don't need to watch the goal setting. I watched that when I first joined. It's like, you're supposed to do this every year. Like you should always set goals every year in your business. Like, well, no wonder you're still struggling. You think you need more stuff, but you just need to really drill into the fundamentals and execute the fundamentals. That's probably why you're struggling, is because you're not even just applying the fundamentals. So goal setting, we start with day one. Day two is creating your offer. And your offer is like, what are you selling? Yes, it's software. But how are you presenting it? What are you calling it? What else are you including? Are you just doing software, or are you going to include more things to your package to make your package more attractive than your competitors? A lot of stuff that we teach. And we give a lot of, in this program as well, we actually give basically the strategy, the tactics, and then the templates. So we actually give tons of like done for you things that you can just take, incorporate into your offer, incorporate into your business, and just move forward. So we really made it a turnkey 7-day like program, boot camp, basically, to really get people from step A all the way to step Z in their service bureau. So we go through offers, we go another day on marketing, another day on sales, onboarding, fulfillment, and then just the rinse and repeat, because that's really what business is. We've talked about this on other episodes where, you know, creating your business, you want to make it like a conveyor belt where you do the exact same thing again and again and again. Business at scale is kind of boring. You're not innovating as much. You're just doing the same thing again and again and again, and you're just refining it. You're getting better. You're getting better at sales calls. You're getting your marketing a little bit better. You're getting your conversion numbers higher. You're getting maybe the price of your program you can start to increase over time. And it's just all these things that compound where you then double, triple your business year over year. And we have members in our program. Actually, looking at the stats this year, we've got a ton of members who are more than 2 or 3x their volume from the previous year, because they're starting to do that. They're refining thing. They're doing the same shit, but they're like, oh, now I can tweak this and get it better. And their numbers are jumping up big time. It's awesome to see.
And then it's funny. I had a call with somebody in the program the other day. And one of the questions that came up was, okay, so what should I do? What should I do this year? And they're talking about these different things that they could do. And I'm like, wait a minute, you just went from X to 5x, right? Like in one season. Why are you trying to do something different? You don't need to do anything different. You just need to do a lot more of what you did last year, but just do it better. What could be improved? You don't need to create a whole new thing.
Yeah.
Sell the same fucking thing again.
The same thing. Right? Now bring in a team. Bring in a team so you can do more of it. It's like, how do you do more of what you were just doing?
I think that's a mistake a lot of entrepreneurs make. And like, we struggle with this too.
This is working really well. Let me go try something completely.
We sometimes have to be like, when we do our meetings and we're like, all right, cool. What are all the things we do? Does that really fit? Like, we have to say no to more. And here's the challenge, right? As you become more successful and as you say, your business starts growing,
there's more and more opportunity.
More and more people start coming to you with these opportunities, these ideas, these things, and you start getting distracted and then you lose money. So you need to be very careful with that. And, you know, whenever we hear somebody saying, okay, cool, I try, like you've done, there was one person that I think was using one of the job posting strategies that we had, right? That you spoke to. And they were like,
They made like $2,000 off of doing this one strategy one time. And I was like, so why didn't you keep doing it? Like, why did you do it once and stop? She's like, oh, I wanted to try something else. I was like, here's what we're going to do. Do this every week, every week. You make $2,000 every week. There you go. There's your seven-figure service bureau after a few years. Done.
Yeah. I think too many people overlook that and think that there's always something new or I have to add this or whatever the scenario is. Yeah. Oh, I need to start selling service bureaus now because people are asking me. That's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
But that's go ahead.
I was just going to say it's a lot of like not just distractions, but it's like any business model. Like say if you're listening to this and you're doing taxes and you're also doing real estate, you know, and maybe you thought about being a service bureau, but you really like real estate. I'm going to give you just a word of advice. Don't start a service bureau. Go all in real estate. Or if you really like the service bureau and you're not a big fan of real estate, ditch the real estate and go all in on the service bureau. But go all in one thing and just really focus on that one thing. I had a call again yesterday with a member. He's like, oh, by the way, I'm in this like real estate thing. It's a great opportunity. You know, maybe I can tell you guys more about it. You can share it with the group because it's a great opportunity. And I was like, what the F does real estate have to do with service bureaus? Like completely unrelated, totally different business. We're like, yeah, but it's a great opportunity. Cool. There's no shortage of opportunities in life. Any business model, any opportunity, you guys can be successful at it if you just focus and apply it. So it doesn't matter what the opportunity is. We love the service bureau for a lot of reasons. There's a lot more benefits of it. You know, you don't have to worry about real estate and the markets and what's going on with the real estate industry if markets crash or are booming. Taxes pretty much never go away. So that's a nice thing. But whatever you're doing, just focus on that one thing. And not only just on the high level of like what kind of a business you're doing, but it also trickles down to how you're doing that business, like marketing strategies, right? We teach a bunch of different marketing strategies. They all work. They all work, but it's just about figuring out which one do you like to do and just get and focus on doing that one thing and get really, really good at it. Be the expert at doing that one thing and you'll see the results, right? One of our members in the group, she's amazing at just social media because she gets in all these groups. She loves to stir up some drama. She really gets a lot of engagement going, but like that's her bread and butter. That's how she makes the majority of her revenue is by doing that social media strategy. We run advertisements. We just know how to run ads. It's what we've done for the longest time. We're never going to stop doing that. And so whatever you're doing, whatever strategies you're implementing, whether it's marketing or whatever to acquire customers, when you find something that's working, don't be like, okay, cool. Let me go try something else. It's like, all right, this is cool. This is working. How can I now make this even better? How can I scale it up? And if you want to try something else, that's fine. But as you say many times, Baldy, it's like, don't stop what's working to go test something else. What's working, keep that going. You can always add to it or test other things on the side. But, you know, what is it? Slap the hand that feeds you or whatever, right?
Like, I don't say that.
Don't say that part.
I don't say that. That's a Canadian term. And then for the rest of the 7-day launch, so we got goal setting, offer. What's the next one? Marketing.
Marketing. Goal setting. Yeah. Marketing, sales, onboarding, and fulfillment.
And then what's the seventh day?
Rinse and repeat.
Rinse and repeat. Right. Simple enough.
There's your business model. Anyone listening, write that down. Offer, that's marketing, it. Sales, onboarding, fulfillment, rinse and repeat.
And that's cool is to tie that back into the client success is we get notified when those things are completed. Our client success team reaches out, make sure you got that all cleared. Did you get the offer down? Did this? What are you doing? And we're going to start logging that so that we can help track and see your performance over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks and more, right? Months down the road. Yeah. And that all is going to have different types of calls and objectives for calls for people to reach out to make sure that you're getting the help you need. Because then what happens is, hey, cool, I got all this, but I really want more marketing help, or I want to know more about this marketing. Well, guess what? We have a whole bunch of trainings on marketing that you can pick, whether it's ads, whether it's this, whether it's that, whether it's whatever. You could go to this section. We'll open it up for you so you can go dive in and then pick one that and focus more deeply on that, right? Yeah. Or sales. Like we have, hey, I need to work on my how to do my sales calls. Okay, well, here's a whole bunch of training on how to do it. Once you get your couple of sales calls in, how about you send us the recording so that we can actually give you feedback on it?
Yeah.
Right. So that's what these other companies don't do. They don't know how to structure these things. Right. So we do call reviews, marketing reviews, all this stuff to help you optimize it and help you play to your strengths. Yeah. Right. So some people, they're, some of these things are not their strengths. So how do we help adapt this to your strengths?
Yeah. Even presentation reviews as well. Like that's a big part of what we offer. And I love doing this because it gets me a lot more familiar with our members and like what they're working on, what they're doing. But when we can take the time to sit down and give them feedback, it's like, yeah, you could spend, and you know, I've done this, Baldy, but I know you've done this in sales and marketing. You can spend literally months, years figuring it all out and like, you know, figuring out, having to find different books to read, different programs to buy, different trainings to learn. And you can slowly piece it together over years, or you can work with us directly. And when you need help on your sales calls, instead of me saying, here's a bunch of books that I want you to go read and try to figure out and piece it together, it's like, no, send me the call and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to give you 3 pages of notes with reviewing and explaining this is what you should say here and why you should say this. Here's how you should do this, and give you a structure and a framework that you can take so you can just build off of success. So you don't have to try and reinvent the wheels. It's like, here's how a successful call should flow. This is what you need to say and when to say it. And we provide a lot of these templates as well to begin with. But when you're actually running the script or when you're actually doing the call, record it, send it over to us. We'll sit down, we'll review it, we'll give you all the feedback so you can just make that massive leap of growth for, or like of improvement versus spending years trying to improve on your own. So, and that's a big part of it. I think a lot of people overlook that fact where it's like, some people have a little bit of ego. I was talking to my friend actually the other day and it's a bit of our conversation. He was saying something. I'm like, man, that's just your ego. You gotta get rid of that. I have no problem reaching out to people who are the level that I want to get to, who are way better, you know, like further along in their business, much, much larger volume, whatever it may be. I will seek those people out and I will try to learn from them because I know I can extract some sort of information from them that's going to help me get there faster and easier. Why wouldn't I do that? And so that's a big part of our program is that it's like, hey, you have us as mentors. We can break all this stuff down. We've been there. We've done it. We've grown a pretty decent sized service bureau, I'd say, over the last, well, I mean, long term, but especially over the last four years, it's grown exponentially. So we're here in your corner to give you the strategies, give you that shortcut to success.
Another thing to be careful of along those lines is, you know, we've had members say, hey, I paid for this coaching program and they told me that I should be selling this and like selling it like this and charging this and like disaster. I'm like, you're listening to people saying this is the price point of this, of what you should be selling at, but they don't really know the economics of this industry and you're fucking not making as many sales and you're losing out on volume because you listen to some fucking guru that doesn't know shit about the industry. So just be careful when you
The McGurus everywhere trying to tell you how to sell shit when they don't know anything about your industry.
Quite a few conversations this year with people that are like, oh, you know, this is what they said I should do because this is, I'm like, yeah, but they don't get kickbacks on the back end. They're just doing this because they're trying to extract 10, 15, 20 grand up front and that's all they're ever going to see.
Yeah.
Right. Like you need to be able to balance this. You need to be able to, if you want to charge more, sure, but you're also going to price out a lot of people from the market that all your base hits, all your volume is gone, right? Because guarantee you could like, look, our price point's pretty much been the same every single year at $2,000, right up front. And even though everyone, Ross and Jameson always say, hey, you got to raise the price. I'm like, no.
I want to increase it.
They want to increase it.
$3,000.
Like, no. And it's not because I don't think we'll sell. I know we'll sell it. I know we'll make money. I'm just like, well, what about the 2, 3, 4, 5, 10,000 bank products that we're going to miss out on because somebody just couldn't do that extra thousand? Yeah.
What about the, what I would say, like, I think we did the numbers, like 30% of people who do like the split pay.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe even more. It might even be like 40% of people who opt to break it out into a few payments. That's, yeah, that's why. Yeah.
And there's always going to be the percentage of people that like sign up and don't do anything. Right. So it's like, no one's winning that way. No one's winning that way. So, you know, that's a conversation I had with somebody yesterday. I'm like, I don't like it when people give us money and then don't use their software. That's got to change. How do we change that? Well, that's why we started talking about more about software adoption, all that stuff, because this doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do us any good. Like, it's not good, right? If you buy it, you should use it, right? It's like, let's have every resource possible so there's no excuses on using it. So how do we make our part better, right, on that end?
Yeah, it's a big part of business. And that's the other thing too, is like, we've got a couple new sales reps that I'm working with, helping our sales lead train. And one of them comes from like a commodities where it's like a high ticket, like boom, you just hit them on the sale. And that, the way that you sell that is very, very different from this type of a program. And I had to explain to everyone, it's like, you guys need to understand, in this program, it's a community, right? It's a, like, it's a community of service bureaus that we're mentoring, we're coaching, we're training, we're supporting. It's not a, hey, pay us $2,000 and then we're never going to talk to you again. It's like, no, we talk to our members daily, every single day, whether it's in ticketing, whether it's on phone calls, whether it's in the Facebook group, whatever. We are engaged. Like, it's a giant family, basically, of service bureaus. And so when we're, you know, running our business and we're selling and stuff, it's like, we need to make sure we're bringing in the right people. We're setting that expectation and we're charging an appropriate amount for it, but we're not overpricing ourselves. And what most people don't realize, like the McGurus in other industries, is that they're thinking of just a one-time sale and it's like, it's one and done. And if you approach the service bureau model with that, where it's just, oh, I just get the fee, I set them up, then I never talk to them again, you are not going to succeed, because you make the volume again. Majority of the revenue comes on the fees on the volume. And so if you sell them a package 1 year and then they leave you the next, and you have to do that every year, you're replacing your business year over year. You want to build a program where you can actually sell someone and they stay with you long term, so that you can actually grow year over year versus having to just replace your clients year over year. So a lot of that, we break a lot of that down in the onboarding fulfillment. It's like, the sale doesn't stop after someone pays. Now it's okay. Now it's about the client experience. We still have to sell them on our company through the client experience. How do we onboard them? How do we set them up in the software, deliver and support them throughout the season, so that they don't, and this, I don't know how many times we hear these on sales calls, oh, yeah, I could never get support from my software company, right?
Oh, yeah.
I try to call them all the times, or I had to join some Discord server and like, no one's ever there. I can't get a hold of anyone. I call them and it just always goes to the voicemail. That's that, you're going to be able to lose, you're going to lose clients like that. Doesn't mean you have to go above and beyond and hire a bunch of people like we're doing, but over time, it might be something you want to do as you're getting to that scale. But initially, it's just set the right expectation. Make sure you've got clear communication with your members and you're moving them into your service bureau and really managing the client properly.
Yeah. I think that's we got one more topic that we, what's new for 2024.
Yeah. Do you want to take it away?
All right. Well, we're doing it again. We're bringing back our annual, at this point now, officially, convention.
I think it will be, yeah, officially annual convention. Yeah.
Officially annual convention. So last year we did a recap episode on it, I believe, at some point. But we had about 100 something people there. This year, I think we're going to cap it at a same size, 150 maybe. We'll cap it at, just to keep it not too crazy, not too packed, but a good amount of people. And what we're doing differently with it this year is we're doing lunch and breakfast for everybody. I think dinner is basically for everybody too, because the first night, well, the registration night is just like a kind of like welcome cocktail thing. It's not even major. It's just like, hey, meet and greet. The first night of the official day of the first day is a cocktail party sponsored by TPG. That's going to have a lot of food. So that night. And then the second night, we're going to have our first ever award ceremony. So we're doing awards for the members this year. So that'll be good. I think that'll be great for everyone. So that's going to include dinner. And then what we're doing differently, and last year we did like a whole VIP half day on the third day. And we just limited it to people at a certain volume, invite only. And we kind of pulled back behind the scenes a lot of the stuff that, mostly systems, operations, team building stuff that we felt they would benefit from more than somebody that wasn't at that point yet. But this year, what we're going to do is, I think that the challenge when you do an event is you get pumped up, but then you don't really, while you're there, make a plan to go and execute it. So we're doing this year on the third day is everybody's going to come. And that's the workshop day where we're going to take all of the stuff that we've covered, and we're going to actually physically write out the action plan so that when you leave, you're like, okay, cool. Now I know what I'm going to go do, right? I'm not going to forget because it's all written out.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the gist of it this year.
Yeah. Yeah. The momentum you get out of a convention is always great. Like, there's definitely a big surge, but like you said, it can fade away pretty quickly after you're done traveling. You get home, maybe you're a little bit tired from traveling, so you rest, and then life comes back at you. You got kids, whatever, family stuff. And then before you know it, you're back to the same enthusiasm levels you were before you went to the convention. So yeah, how do we make sure that energy carries over and give you a game plan and a roadmap on like, okay, here's what I need to do now, right? Here's my steps. This is what I need to be doing on a daily basis, weekly basis, so I can hit the goal. So really excited for that. I think, I mean, there was tons of energy anyways coming out of the convention last year. Like, our Facebook group, any members who weren't there, they were seeing all these photos. There was a lot of FOMO getting built up. So definitely looking forward to this next one as well, with hopefully more members there, and just the networking and meet and greet as well. A lot of people on the testimonials are all like, oh, it was amazing actually seeing people face to face, because we've been on Zoom for 3 years and this was the first time we actually had a big meeting with everyone. So looking forward to it again this year.
I think that's good enough for this episode, right? We covered quite a few topics of 2024.
Yeah. So lots of stuff coming up, always improving. If you guys are interested in learning more about how you can get started with your Service Bureau or joining the Service Bureau Accelerator program, we'll have all the links in the comments below this video. If you're on YouTube, listening to Spotify, and you could also just head over to servicebureauaccelerator.com, check out one of our new webinars, learn a little bit more about the program, book a call with our team, and we'll get you on your way to becoming a Service Bureau.
Awesome. All right, let's wrap it up.